universal topological quantum computation from a superconductor slash abelian quantum hollow hyperstructure.
Okay, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. The work I'm going to be talking about is today, it's done in collaboration with a number of co-authors. I have to warn that much of today's work is mostly a condensed matter base. But the outline is as follows. So first thing, you know, I'm going to motivate non-abelian anions and why they're important. So if you already know that part, bear with me a bit. And the proposal that I'm going to suggest today involves superconductivity and some kind of conventional quantum Hall structures to try to find this Fibonacci anion, which could be potentially used for quantum computation. So to begin, the fundamental thing, you know, in quantum mechanics is what happens when you swap particles. So, you know, if you exchange two particles, how does the wave function change? Now, you know, that of course is determined by, you know, the type of particles you have, right? So traditionally, you know, we have bosons and fermions where the phase is, you get plus or minus one, but then we understand that there's also anions, and among anions, it divides into the abelian category, which when you break two particles, you don't get a plus or minus one phase, but you get some phase in between. And there's non-abelian, which is much more exotic. And these abelian, non-abelian anions, when you break two particles, you actually end up applying a unitary matrix to the wave function. So you can imagine that you have a set of wave functions which is captured by one configuration, and when you break them, you apply essentially a quantum gate to it. And of course, it's interesting for multiple reasons, but we're concerned because you can potentially make a decoherence free or like a much more robust quantum computer. And here, the set of wave function will act as your quantum memory, and the braiding operations will act as your quantum gate. Now, this is an example of what you can do with anions. So I'm going to give an example of a particular type called Ising anions. And you can find these in P plus psi P superconductors, or equivalents of these anions in P plus psi P superconductors on the Mohrig state. They might also be known as Majorana zeromos to some people. And there, there are kind of three species of anions. So one is kind of what I call the vacuum or odd bosonic excitation. So I'm kind of grouping them as one. Psi is at all types of fermionic excitations. And I'm going to call sigma, in the Mohrig case, the E over 4 charge quasi-particle. But you can think of it also as a vortex in the P plus IP case. These are the objects which are like Majorana zeromos. So the first thing, of course, is how do you store information of it? Well, first, you understand the fusion rules, and the fusion rules between the boson and the fermion is as follow. But what's the most interesting is that when you take two these Ising anions together, it can fuse to either one or psi. So you can think of it in the P plus IP language is that when you have two Majorana zeromos and you put them together, you get a fermion mode for which it's filled or empty. So that's represented by a bosonic or a fermionic possible state. And what that also means is that gives you a wave function degeneracy. When you have two of these together, you get a twofold degeneracy, right? So for example, imagine that you have, say, the Mohrig state, where you have a bunch of these Ising anions labeled by sigma. If I take two of them together, it could be, you know, it could take on two possible states. So these two already can encode a qubit. Now, what's important for us is that as long as these two sigmas are spatially separated, the only way to figure out what the resulting fusion channel, that is what the state is by bringing them together or making a measurement on both of them at the same time, which is highly non-local. And so this actually guarantees two things. The first thing is that there's an energy degeneracy protected by the spatial separation of the system. And the second thing is it's very hard to decohere if this distance is large because you're going to need correlated noise on a long length scale for this decoherence to process. So you can imagine if you have a bunch of sigmas together, two of them has two states. If I have, say, four of them, well, If you do the fusion rule, you find this four possible states, and you can extend this so that when you have 2n of them, you have 2 to the n possible states. So the number of states grows asymptotically as the number of anions you have. And in this particular case, that's described by the quantum dimension, which is square root of 2. So you can think of every one of these Ising anions has square root of 2 degrees of freedom in them. So what can you do to computation? So imagine I have 4 anions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up the first pair in the 1 sector, you know, as opposed to the psi sector. I'm also going to do the second one. So the wave function is just 1-1. So for example, I can swap the middle 2. And what that does is that it alters the wave function to be in some linear combination of states. You can say do further swaps, or you can kind of change the braid operation, and you can see that you can modify the wave function just by braiding. Now, what exactly happens, of course, can be computed. And so, for example, in the case of this four Ising anions, you can store a two-level system, and these are the operations associated with the various braids. Now, one thing you'll notice is that the first one, for example, is essentially a rotation on the x-axis by 90 degrees. So that's like exponential of sigma x. The second one is, and the third one is rotation on the z-axis by 90 degrees. And so if you kind of look at these two, you know, braiding operations, you see that, you know, since you're rotating by 90 degrees in, you know, the block sphere in two perpendicular axes, you can't get all possible operations. In fact, you can kind of see that for example, if I had a, you know, visualize a cube, that it would be invariant under all these operations. And so there's only a finite set of gates that you can actually implement by braiding Ising anions. And so this is one issue for motivation for going to Fibonacci anions. Okay, so first I'm going to go over some of the kind of the places where you can expect to find anions. So the kind of the more traditional places are fractional quantum Hall effects. So in particular, the 5-half state is conjectured to be a Moritz state, which supports Ising anions. There have been some experiments, though it's still rather controversial. The 12-fifth state is conjectured to be a Reed-Rezai state, and essentially there are very little evidence of that at the moment. Now, there is a version of the Moritz state that you can build off free fermion by Reed and Green, known as the weak pairing P plus IP superconductor. But for these states, what happens is a vortex can trap a Majorana zero mode at its core. And now Majorana zero mode, you can think, in this particular case, as an operator, self-emission, and squares to 1. But of course, this is a fermionic operator, so it anti-commutes of other operators. So pairs of them will create a fermion mode. Now, since we haven't been able to find a P plus IP superconductor definitively, there have been other recent proposals which involve taking conventional superconductor with various materials to try to mimic the behavior of P plus IP. And for example, you can put next to a topological insulator or a semiconductor. And along that lines, there's also been what we call the Kataev wire, which is just a 1D system where the N states have Majorana zero modes in them, right? And recent experiment measure such a system. And here you have a superconductor labeled by S, and the wire, the white wire that goes horizontal, which is indium antimony, I think. And by combining a bunch of these things, you can, you know, you have the ingredients to try to make this exotic systems with Majoranas. Now, generalizations of that are kind of what we call parafermion zero modes, which recent groups have proposed that one way you can possibly do it is to take fractional quantum Hall and superconductors to couple them together to get these more exotic anions. Now, of all these, you know, existing proposals, we kind of call the, you know, the first two kind of intrinsic, these fractional quantum Hall, in the sense that, you know, they just come off the material themselves, whereas we kind of call, you know, the other proposals kind of engineered, where you take kind of a number of well-known materials, and you try to combine them together to kind of make new exotic states of matter. Now, of all these things, only the Reed-Rezai state contains a candidate which you might be able to do universal Bray statistics, namely the Fibonacci anion. Now, the Fibonacci anion has the following fusion rules, where when you combine two Fibonacci anions, you can either fuse to the identity sector or the Fibonacci sector. Now, the fact that when you fuse two of these, you can get back itself, you know, it's a small difference from the Ising anions, but it has remarkable properties. So, for example, if we try doing the same thing again, where we look at what the Bray operations are for Fibonacci anions, it turns out that you no longer kind of get the simple picture before where you get 90-degree rotation on the Bloch sphere. You get kind of 36-degree rotations and on two not parallel axes. So you can see that you can argue that this actually will give you all possible states on the qubit. And generalizations of that with more anions indeed does give you a universal set of quantum gates. That is, you can approximate any unitary operation with a series of these braids. Now, another motivation is that, you know, if you were to, let's say, implement, say, Shor's algorithm for 128-bit numbers under using anions, well, with Fibonacci anions, it's estimated that you need about 1,000 anions, whereas you need about 3 billion Ising anions if you try to implement some type of error correction protocol. Now, these are only estimates, but it does kind of tell you substantially, you know, the usefulness of having topological quantum computing using universal Bray statistics rather than just using a much smaller set. So the question, of course, is that, well, can we get Fibonacci anions? Well, the 12-5th state is a candidate, but right now we don't know very much about it. So can we attempt to construct a superconducting-like state that has Fibonacci anions in it? And I'm going to try to suggest a proposal, which, you know, which in principle you could. It's a rather difficult proposal, but we hope that it will spur some more research. Okay, so first I'm going to talk a bit about quantum Hall. So in quantum Hall, you know, you have a 2D electron gas in a very strong magnetic field. Now, what the magnetic field does, of course, it deflects the electron, and it causes it to go in circular orbits. And when you put on a strong magnetic field in the quantum Hall regime, the all the single electron states, you know, the kinetic energy is quenched into a bunch of Landau levels, and so the integral quantum Hall, for example, is characterized by a completely filled Landau level at the bottom band and empty for above that. Now, what's also noteworthy is that if you consider electron on the edge, it will still try to go in a circle, but if it runs into an edge, it will form these skipping orbits. It will bounce off the edge, and you can see that there will be then an edge mode. In this case, this edge mode goes clockwise around the system. And that's the characteristics of quantum Hall phases, which is going to become important. There is the fractional quantum Hall phases, where instead of completely filling the bottom Landau level, for example, you can consider it's partially filled. And in this particular case, the phase is stabilized by electron-electron interactions, which is on the order of the Coulomb energy, which stabilizes the phase and creates much exotic physics. So the types of quantum Hall that, you know, we have, for example, is there's the integer quantum Hall, which, you know, you can understand it's just a band insulator of some sort. The excitations are electrons. There's the abelian fractional quantum Hall effect. So, you know, the most famous one is the Laughlin state at 1/3 filling, and there you have fractional charges, excitations at E over 3. So you can imagine putting an electron on the system, it will fractionalize it into 3 pieces. In addition, of course, there will be a charge mode running around the edge of these phases. There's the Moreid state, which is a candidate for the 5/2 filling state, where the anion, you actually get Ising anions with charge E over 4. And there, you know, these anions have brilliant properties, as I mentioned before, similar to the Majorana zero modes. And there at the edge, there's a charge mode, and there's also a neutral Majorana mode. And there's the Reed Rezaei state, the simplest of which is the Z-free Reed Rezaei. And there, it does host the Fibonacci anion that we're looking for. This edge mode consists of, once again, the charge mode. But now the edge theory, instead of the Majorana theory, is a Z-free parafermion theory. It's a strongly interacting critical theory. And That's what we're going to try to mimic. Now, what we're going to try to argue is that by putting superconducting elements, say on the integer quantum Hall, which is a really simple state, you can induce it to go to into a state that is very similar to the Mori, in the sense that it hosts Ising anions. And we're going to try to also argue that by putting superconducting islands on an abelian fractional quantum Hall state, you can get a state which is like the Reed-Rezaei and host the Fibonacci anion. The proposal is very much inspired by work by Tao and Kane, where they consider a bunch of couple Luttinger liquids together to form some of these exotic states. And the idea behind the proposal is as follows. So what you do is you imagine taking a bunch of wires that are critical. So here, you know, I've just drawn four for demonstration. Now, at a criticality, you know, the 1D system can be understood as gapless modes. In this case, there will be a gapless degrees of freedom going left and gapless degrees of freedom going right, indicated by the arrow. What they did is that they add coupling between wires in a way to gap out the intermediate mode. So you can look at there will be a coupling between the right mover of the very top wire with the left mover of the second wire. And the idea is that if you can gap them out, then you will leave behind just the left mover, the very top mode of the top wire. And so if you can do this for all pairs of wires, you're going to be left with a left mover on the top, the very top one, and the right mover on the very bottom wire. And so that gives you a chiral edge state in the 2D limit. You know. And by reproducing kind of the edge physics that we saw before quantum Hall system, by the bulk edge correspondence, you can also figure out that there will be bulk anions corresponding to the edge physics. And this is essentially what we're going to do. We're going to try to construct a phase with an appropriate edge mode. And there we're going to know what type of anions is in the bulk. So I'm going to briefly go over the construction, which starts with the integer quantum Hall and show how to get a Mori-like state. So this is, you can say, kind of the practice run before I kind of go into the more complicated case. So you start the quantum Hall, let's say at filling factor 1, and there's, we know there's an edge state of an electron running around. So this is a relatively simple state where the only excitations are electrons. We're going to hollow a trench. And when you hollow out the trench, of course, it creates an extra edge. So you're going to have a chiral edge state running around. We're going to make this a relatively narrow trench so that we can allow electron hopping to hop from one side or the other side. Now, if that happens, of course, it actually closes the gap because the trench you can think of has a left mover and a right mover. But when you couple them together, you create a gap and, you know, you gap out the system. But we can also gap out the system using superconductivity. So imagine that I can add a pairing term to the system where instead of a tunneling term. Now, these two ways of gapping out the system turns out to be incompatible. And what happens is if we try that, there's actually going to be a Majorana zero mode trap at the interface of where the superconducting region lie and the just the tunneling region. And this physics is similar to the Jacquive-Rabi type physics. But these Majoranas, of course, have properties where they square to one and they anti-commute with one another. And you can kind of think of these Majorana operators as, you know, go changing Hermitian operators, which changes from even to an odd state. Now, what we're going to consider for now is we're going to consider an array of these, right? So each of the blue section, you know, you think of a superconductor. So at every interface between the blue and the white, you're going to get a Majorana zero mode. So this is a 2D lattice of such Majorana zero modes. And we're going to introduce hopping. So the type that we're going to consider is T1, which hops across the superconductor, T2, which hops across the tunneling region. And we're also going to have coupling between different chains. So at the moment, we're going to not consider the coupling between chains. We're just going to say we're in the limit where that's very weak. And we're just only going to consider one wire. Well, what's the phase diagram of this wire? Well, as a function of T1 over T2, we can look at the limiting cases. So when T1 is really large, you have these couplings across the semiconductors. And what that does, of course, is you end up pairing pairs of Majoranas and gapping them all out. So what you end up with is just completely gapped trivial phase. On the other limit, where T2 is very big, so you know T1 is 0, and then you're also going to be gapping out pairs of Majoranas, but here you're gapping out different pairs, and you can see that there's a first one, a last one, which is untouched. And these form kind of Majorana end states, and you kind of have a wire with end states, and this is, you know, exactly the same thing as this Kataev wire construction. And so you have a phase with that's not trivial. Yeah, so one way you can consider how to introduce them is just vary the width of the superconductor and the tunneling region. So that would be kind of the, at least, you know, what you would try first. But, but you know, it's plausible that you can tune them if you can manufacture this very, very precisely, just based on distance. Right, so at the middle, of course, between the trivial state and the state with, you know, the Kataev wire phase with Majorana end states, of course, is a critical point. And this turns out to be eisencriticality. You can actually solve this problem exactly when T1 equals to T2. And there, of course, you can actually get a right-moving Majorana and a left-moving Majorana in the system. So with that, of course, we have many of these wires, and then we start coupling together. And we do this by introducing a coupling term, say, between the first wire and the second wire. And what that would do is it will gap out the left mover of the first one or the right mover of the second one, so that, you know, it will just kind of disappear. And you can kind of do this, you know, keep gapping them out with, you know, say, tunneling term, and you're going to be left with one right-moving wire on the top and one left-moving wire on the bottom. And you're going to have a chiral edge mode. And this edge mode, of course, will be exactly the free Majorana, because, of course, that's what we started each wire with, right? So by construction, we have constructed a phase with the appropriate edge mode. And having a chiral Majorana mode means that your bulk has to support these non-trivial Ising anion-like excitations. And so given that, you know, we're going to proceed to make a similar argument to go from abelian fractional quantum Hall to the Rezaei type light state with Fibonacci anion. Now, this proposal is a bit more involved than the previous case, because it's much harder to solve the system, seeing that third pair of fermions and Fibonacci anions don't arise out of non-interacting systems. So this is a strongly interacting system, but we have a number of tools available to us. So what we do is we start with the spin and polarize nu equals to 2/3 state. So this is a fractional quantum Hall state that, yes?
Just before you go on, you need in the 1D case, you need each of them to be tuned exactly to criticality before you couple them, right?
Yes.
But we know that there are relevant perturbations of each of the 1D chains, which go away. But the way you present the construction, you end up with something gapped in the middle that you would want to argue is a robust phase.
Mm-hmm.
How do you?
Well, right. So our construction, you can think of, you know, we make our construction at a very fine-tuned point where, yeah, we at first demanded they're all critical, and you're right. There's many relevant perturbations that takes it off criticality.
So do you have sense for how many, is this going to be a stable phase? How many relevant perturbations?
Right. Well, it turns out, well, it's not too important, because what happens is we get a gap phase at the end. That's the important part. So once you get a gap phase, you kind of know that it will be stable to perturbations. Now, another more heuristic way to look at this is that, you know, when we couple the wires together, you know, we have couplings along each wire to kind of bring it to criticality. And, you know, let's say, for example, if T1 wasn't equals to T2, then it won't be critical, right? But we also have coupling between wires. And roughly the heuristic is that you want the coupling between the wires to be stronger than kind of the coupling that takes it off criticality. So essentially, to answer your question, you want the perturbation that takes them off criticality, even if they're relevant, the strength of those perturbations, as long as they're smaller than the coupling between the wires, then you can still see that, you know, you still get the same phase. So basically, it doesn't have to be as fine-tuned. This is kind of a starting point for how to get the phase. But then once you get the phase, you can start playing with the coupling, and then you will still be stable within some region in the phase diagram. Does that make sense?
And what about interactions? Because
same thing, but I'm going to go over that case in a bit.
No, I meant that these sliding phases, right? That's what these things go by. They've been known to, like, when you turn on interactions, it's harder and harder to tune this to these there are many possible phases for the
So what we can really say is that there's a particular area in the phase diagram which, you know, does exactly what we want, and we know it's a gap phase, which means there must be a region of phase around it, which is still the same phase, right? And to answer that question is much harder, because once you're away from, you know, kind of this exactly solvable limit, all we have is we have to rely on numerics to kind of tell us. But what this does is it gives you a point to tell you that those this definitely gives you the phase, and there'll be some region around it which you can, you know, try to do either doing perturbation theory or numerics to see whether you still get the same phase. But, you know, this is a place to start switching, if you can interpret it as that. Okay? Okay, so we have kind of told you from the integer quorum how to kind of get you a state with Ising anion. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the abelian quorum Hall. So the state we're going to talk with is a spin-up polarized two-thirds, and roughly you can kind of think of it as a spin-up copy of one-third filling and a spin-down copy of one-third filling that are correlated. Right. So this thing is a spin singlet state. There's no net spin, which it will actually be very useful later. Now, the H mode consists of a charge mode moving in one direction, and a backward charge mode, and a forward neutral mode. So the neutral mode won't be very important for our discussion. It will only be a charge mode. The excitations of this phase are E over 3, multiples of E over 3. So here, you know, when we hollow our trench and we put tunneling between the trench, we want electron tunneling, which you can think of as tunneling of free quasi particles at the same time. Likewise, when you add a superconductivity, it will be pairing of two electrons, which is kind of equivalent of pairing of six of these quasi particles. Now here, being spin polarized is very helpful because that means you can use a spin singlet superconductor, and you don't have to worry about how to, you know, pair spins of different of like spins. And if you kind of work through some of the algebra, what you get at the interface is instead of getting these Majorana zero modes, you get these generalized Majorana zero modes, or we're just going to call them parafermion modes, where in particular you can be represented by an operator which cubes to one. Now these operators also have non-trivial commutation relations, where when you swap them, you get some phase. And once again, we're essentially going to do the same trick. We're going to imagine an array of these with this every parafermion zero modes at the end of, you know, each superconductor. And we're going to couple them so that we make each chain at criticality, and then we couple the chains afterwards. And we're analyzing this, of course, in the limit where, you know, we make each chain at criticality. So, you know, right now, you know, T1 and T2 are much stronger than interchain coupling as, you know, a starting point. But, you know, once again, I want to emphasize that, you know, this phase is actually a bit more robust than that. Okay, so you look at one chain. What do you get? Well, as you vary the ratio of T1 and T2, of course, you're going to get different phases. You do the similar analysis where if T1 is very big, you're going to end up pairing a bunch of these parafermions together. And what happens is you're going to gap them out in pairs, and you're just going to get a phase that's completely gapped. So you get a trivial phase for large T1 over T2. On the other hand, if you have small T1 and you have large T2, you're also going to be gapping them out in pairs, but you're going to leave a parafermion at the end. And so that kind of gives you a non-trivial phase. So just like in before, you're going to expect a phase transition in the middle when T1 is exactly equals to T2. And you can argue why this phase transition has to be at 1 by doing various duality transformations. Now, this when it's critical, the criticality is described by a Z-free parafermion criticality. Now, without going too much into the details, the important part of this critical theory is that there is this epsilon field, which is like a Fibonacci field, and that when you do fusion rules of these fields with itself, you can kind of get a 1 plus epsilon. So this is exactly the fusion rule that you want. Now, keep in mind, of course, this is a gapless theory, so all these are gapless. These aren't anions. But the field, of course, has the desired properties in the sense that this is the edge theory for the Reed-Rezaei state, which hosts the Fibonacci anion, right? Now, what's also going to be important is, you know, basically how to map these lattice operators, because we start with, you know, this construction where we have these parafermions in every site, how to map them to continuous continuum field in the CFT theory. So very roughly, you know, the parafermion operators that we have map to the field, which also is known as the parafermion field. So by doing this, we can essentially now add tunneling terms, and which this case turns out 2E over 3 tunneling terms, it's the important one, to gap out successive modes. So we gap them out in pairs, leaving one on the top, one on the bottom, and so we now once again have the chiral phase. Now this edge of this phase is given by a Z-free parafermion theory, but we know that, of course, since the edge has a Fibonacci field, the bulk will also host a Fibonacci anion. So to kind of, you know, summarize what this kind of construction is that what we really did on many of these steps is that we have an explicit construction from each step and in a very analytically controlled way to kind of, you know, kind of get new excitations, right? You can see that we start with electrons and we can get a fractional quantum Hall phase at 2 thirds. We can create these generalized Majorana modes or parafermion zero modes from which we put each wire at criticality and we couple the wires together. Now, this seems like a lot of, you know, steps to do it, right? But once again, I want to emphasize that, you know, this is done so that we have a perfect analytical control of what the phase is in the end, right? Once you have a gap phase at the end, of course, you can start varying some of these conditions at, to still kind of get the same phase. In particular, one of the things is, well, what if you don't want to create an array of superconductors? Here we have a slightly simpler proposal where we have just kind of uniform trench. So you can imagine just putting uniform strips of superconductors on. And here in a particular limit where the tunneling pairing match, it turns out you still get the same phase, right? And so in this particular case, we can bypass one step. And so the obvious question is, what happens when you just put the uniform superconductor in, right? What if you don't even do the trenches? Is it possible? Well, at this point, of course, it's much harder to analyze, but we have reasons to believe that it might be possible because, you know, you can start with a similar phase that you could solve exactly and come here. So this is an open question, right? But if it's true, you know, it does suggest that experimentally you could attempt to try to do this. Now, to put it in context, of course, of, you know, the many other kind of proposal, right? You know, the many there are many, you know, things that people suggest about putting together superconductor with various materials to try to get these Majorana zero modes, right? Or kind of generalized Majorana zero modes. So here, you know, along that line, we're suggesting proposals that involve fractional quantum Hall and superconductors. And we don't expect, you know, any experimenters to go and do this right now, but this is kind of suggestive in that, you know, we do have new tools and, you know, new materials playground to put us in. So you can kind of think of this as, you know, a first step of perhaps some blueprint for how to possibly, you know, get Fibonacci anions. And so with that, you know, I'm going to summarize the work as basically, you know, we have, you know, a phase where we know it supports Fibonacci anions, and, you know, there are certain open questions, which is how stable this phase is away from the parameters that, you know, we specify, and, you know, how do you trap this non-abelian anion, and finally, of course, you know, is there something more exotic beyond Fibonacci anions to work with? So thank you for your time.
I was wondering, when you talked about going from islands to strips in the Fibonacci construction, and how the condition for that to work was then that tunneling and pair movement have the same coefficient. Mm-hmm. What does that correspond to then in the, what would that correspond to then in the continuum limit? Equal velocities?
Oh, so you mean once you're not away from the strip thing?
Yes, yes.
So
once you go to the uniform limit, I mean.
We don't know. We have no clue. So that is one part, you know, where the problem is that, you know, in this particular, in one of the reasons why we kind of started the quasi-1D, you know, kind of limit is because, you know, there's the tool from conformal field theory to help us figure out what the phase is, right? So, you know, everything before, you know, I obviously didn't go over the technical details, but you can actually work out mathematically and, you know, you can show that this will actually get to the phase, at least, you know, in the limit that we have. Once you start kind of, you know, making more approximations, there we have very little tools to analyze strongly interacting systems. So I would probably suggest, you know, either doing a perturbation theory or just straight up numerics to try to do this. And it's very difficult. And along that lines, actually, I would like to also say that currently we're working with actually Miles over there to numerically study these phases. And what he's finding is that it is much more stable than the analytic will give it for. So we hope to have that out soon. But it also means that if you have any questions on this, you should ask Miles.
Thank you.
Further questions?
What about the uniform superconductor and the integer quantum particles?
Oh, there you can actually solve it because at least you can make an approximation in the mean field level. And it turns out that there had been a proposal, and I think by Chi, where I think what they do is that if the integer quantum hall is close to a plateau transition, there you can tune the just in this case, just the superconducting pairing term so that you get a P plus IP light stay at the edge. So that has at least been done for the uniform superconductor for the integer case.
And what if you're not at the...
You don't have to be at it, but essentially I think the pairing has to be kind of stronger than the distance to the plateau transition. One way of visualizing this is that the integer quantum Hall state has an electron going around the edge, which you can think of as two Majorana modes. And when you put the superconductors on, of course, you want to kill one of these Majorana modes so you have a single one left. And so basically the idea is that if it's close enough to the transition, one of these Majorana modes will, you know, can disappear. That's the rough logic. There you can analyze it using free electron theory in the mean field level, so then you can actually work out and show that it works. Here we have no clue how to do it. So if any of you knows how to do fractional quantum Hall calculations, I would love to hear it.
So let's thank Roger again.
Thank you.